Thank you, Mark. That was very inspiring. Do I have to give the split now, Mr. Thomas? I thought that was good enough. No, it was very excellent. I really love that song. So going in the same shoes as Joe did today, I am going to give my sermon a title, my split today. I usually don't do that, but Decent and in Order is the title, Decent and in Order. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:33 and see what Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:33. God is not a God of disorder. He's a God of peace, just as in all the churches of the Lord's people. And then dropping down to verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Our God is absolutely a God of order. He does everything in order, and I believe that we can draw closer to Him. As we draw closer to Him, we too will have that propensity to have an orderly life. God created everything in a beautiful order, and by design, He created the diverse seasons that we enjoy. I'm in not my most enjoyable season right now, but I'm looking forward to the spring. And then we have summer, and then we have fall. But I love all the different seasons. It's nice to see them all. I'm just, as I've gotten older, I'm not a fan of the snow so much, and I don't like to be cold. So, but I do love the different seasons, and God gave that to us to enjoy. But there's an order to that. Just there as we have an order to His holy day seasons as well. And we're looking forward to the Passover season coming up and the first day of unleavened bread, and also the last day of unleavened bread. And then we have Pentecost in its order. We have trumpets, atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day as well. And all that has been given to us in an order, a logical plan, an order that God has given to us. It's all a thought-out plan that God has. You know, our lives even have an order. We're just tiny little babies when we're born, and then we grow up to be children, and then we grow up to be teenagers, and then we become young adults, and then we mature into our adulthood, and then if we live long enough, God giving us the days, we'll get old and gray someday as well. So everything has that order. God created an orderly universe. Everything from the specific placement of galaxies, the planets and the stars, to the rotating of the planets that separate the day and night. All things have a design. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, He is before all things. So God Himself is in order. He is before all things. He's the first in order. He created human beings in His own image in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and we don't need to turn there. But His orderliness is something that we see reflected in how we're created and in the way that our mind works, that God gave us this logic. He gave us complex systems that we have. We have a complex nervous system. We have a circulatory system. We have the complexity of how we see. There's an order in that. We bring in the light. We can see things, and it's actually upside down in the back of our brain, but yet we see it in our mind right side up. But all that is in an order that God made for us, and an amazing body that He made for us, and the wonderful sensations that He's given us, and the experiences that we have, and the things that He created. We have all the senses, so we can bring in the things that we can experience in this life, the sunsets, the different smells of the flowers and things. But God gave us all that, and that's all actually a part of His orderly design. He created us with an innate desire to have order and predictability. You know, we like to know the sun's coming up every day, don't we? We like to know that the sun will set in the evening. If we live near the beach, we like to know there's going to be a high tide and a low tide. And we like to know those things. That's something that God created in each and every one of us. You know, to be in order means that everything is in a proper place, and that things are arranged in a precision, that there's a logic to it. Order doesn't just happen. It is by design. You know, order should be a desire in our hearts, and I think as we draw closer to God as God's people, we'll want to desire order in our life. And I think, I don't know if in your homes, those of you who have children, you know, when you keep your homes orderly, that's something you can teach God's way about, because as things are in order, you're teaching them how to be more godly, because God is a God of order. So you want to be that example in front of your kids and try to keep things orderly and get them involved in that as well. I think that's a great thing. It's absolutely a godly trait. God has a beautiful order for things when it comes to each person's calling and then the culmination of our resurrection. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I know I went through a long spiel to get to this today, but, you know, there's an order to each of our calling and the resurrection that God gives us. God's church has come to an understanding that there's three resurrections, and the Bible doesn't specifically state three. However, we can see that there are three distinct events. So if you don't want to say there's three, but there are three events that happen where individuals are resurrected. And every person in their order. Jesus Christ's resurrection was the beginning of great and miraculous resurrection events for mankind. Think about the miracle that it is for Jesus and any one of us to come back from the dead. But I think one day we're going to die, and Jesus Christ and God the Father knows who each and every one of us are. We're going to come back from the dead. His loyal saints will follow him in the first part of the resurrection, and a brilliant plan for all humanity. Most people claiming to be Christian are unaware of different resurrections. They think there's probably just one resurrection. They think you die and go to heaven. And I hear so many conflicting things. And they talk about a resurrection when Christ comes, but yet they think you die and go to heaven. So I think there's a lot of confusion among mainstream Christianity. I think maybe a lot of that is because people don't read their Bibles today. Now, God's plan is for eternal life is one that doesn't require a cash payoff. You're not going to have to pay yourself out of purgatory. It doesn't require an app on your phone, okay? And God doesn't show partiality. You know, he wants his entire creation to make it into his kingdom someday. That's what God desires. He would love to see every child of his make it into the kingdom. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. Verse 9, 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to make it. That is a desire, I believe, of God's heart. He says it right here. You know, this will all come about in the right order at the right time. Each person will have their opportunity in their right order at the right time. God's going to do it so that that person has the best opportunity to make it in his kingdom. Let's take a look at God's perfect order. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 20, starting in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 20, 20. But now Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. So Jesus Christ was the very first of the first fruits to be resurrected. The reference to first fruits certainly shows us that there are going to be those that follow. So if there's a first, you know there's at least going to be a second. There'll be more to follow. You know, we wouldn't be resurrected if it wasn't for the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had to come first. He did that for each and every one of us. It was required so that there could be others. And we should think about that fact as we head towards the Passover this season, what Christ had to do for us, so that we can have this possibility. Next, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not all the saints, those called by God and who have his Holy Spirit, will be resurrected at the same time. Not all of us are going to be resurrected at the same time. The dead in Christ will be rise first and meet him in the air, and then those saints that are alive will meet him afterwards. You know, that's a logical and proper order, and I think it is. I mean, if you think about it, some of those who have died in Christ, there'll be probably a very large martyrdom before Christ's return. Not probably, there will be. The Bible does say that during the tribulation. And also those saints who, and the apostles, who died in the name of Christ first. And they gave their lives, and some of them were tortured. And I just feel that that is very appropriate. God does everything decent and in order. And those who are alive, and not that we don't suffer our own trials, but I think they definitely would have suffered a lot more trials at that point. Our calling is to be a part of that first resurrection. Have you ever thought about that? We are called to that first resurrection. If we honor and respect the sacrifice and we obey God, we'll be those conquerors and lifted up with him at his return. We'll be a part of that better resurrection. Hebrews 11:35. Next, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. You skip down to verse 40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We were called to be in that first resurrection as the saints of the Most High God. And we may go through some trials, but we have this rare opportunity to be a part of a better resurrection. We get to share in the inheritance with Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We get to share in that inheritance with Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Next, let's turn to James 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Next, let's turn to Revelation 14, verse 4. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. There are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins, meaning we obeyed God. And we've come out of this world in contrast to the harlot in Revelation 17. We are the virgins. So continuing on, these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. That means we're obedient. We follow what Jesus Christ says in his word. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to the God, to God and to the Lamb. You know, Jesus stated, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and that's in John 6:44. The first fruits are handpicked by God the Father. Do we realize that? God the Father handpicked you to be the first fruits in this world. I know there are not many of us, but you are handpicked. I mean, that is a rare opportunity by God the Father himself. So I think that is something that we need to really think about. That's a very humbling thing, to think that God picked you. It's not something that we should be egotistical about or have a fat head over. It's something that we need to be humbled about. God picked us out of anybody in the world. What an opportunity that is. We need to make the best of this opportunity. So what does God expect of us? Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Let's read verses 43 through 48. Luke 12, 43. Blessed is the servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. This is an expectation of God. for his first fruits. Truly I say to you that he made him ruler over all he has. But if the servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the men servant and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him the portion of the unbelievers. Verse 47, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to him who much has been committed, to him they will ask the more. That's what's expected of us, more. More is expected of us. I know it seems daunting at times, but we need to keep pushing forward and growing step by step. We need to do that more. That's what God expects of us. We've been given the greatest gift to be among the first. Let's live up to Jesus Christ's expectations. Let's make our calling and election sure, as in Luke 12. We can't be half-hearted about it. And, you know, we need to get excited over this. I mean, God gave us the ability to come into his kingdom. We don't have to wait 1,000 years. Others are going to have to wait 1,000 years. So let's talk about that, the second resurrection and the judgment. You know, in reading the Bible, you can see that there's definitely three distinct events, like we said before, that take place where humans are miraculously brought back to life by God. You know, and I just find that amazing that he will just not lose track of anyone who's ever existed. I don't care if they lived in a tiny little tribe in some nation back in, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, if they lived on a remote island, or if they're in some great nation and lived in a huge city, God knows who they were, and he keeps track of every single one of them, and that just always blows my mind. Let's take a look at the second resurrection and see what it is, when it is, and who will be in it. If you'd turn to the slide on, please. I'd appreciate it, too, if you leave that on during the in between the scriptures as well. It's very touching. This was presented to me from a friend of ours. I think some of you know Margie, a really good friend of Lisa's of mine. And I don't know if you get that. This was drawn by a 12-year-old little girl in one of the churches of God. And I just love the emotion and how she captured the look on people's faces in the second resurrection. And just what a fine, I mean, you could feel it, the happiness and the joy that the young lady put into that. And I've stared at it for probably hours now. I just love it. And to think she's only 12 years old and she drew that. So I thought that was very touching. But this will be a joyous occasion for so many, and people get to see their loved ones that, again, died, and perhaps meet their grandparents and even their great-grandparents and great-uncles and great-grandmothers and that they never even knew. What an opportunity that's going to be for each of us. It'll be a reunion and their real chance to experience life in its abundance, and their minds will be opened to God's way. This is the resurrection where people who hadn't been called and received God's Holy Spirit in the first place. And it'll be a truly happy life for them. They'll have the ability to leave the old life behind and truly forget it. Today, people carry baggage with them, don't they? I mean, so many people have baggage and they can't seem to get rid of it. But this is a time that God's going to give them that opportunity and the ability to get rid of their baggage. They'll be able to grow in an environment that's conducive to growth and Christians without Satan influencing them. And we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, that Satan deceives the whole world. These people don't understand now. They have been deceived. And some people are more deceived than others. We know that there's some very good people in the world. I mean, we have very good family members. I know many of you that have family members that we love, and they're not evil people. They sin like the rest of us, but God hasn't opened their mind. He's going to give them the best chance that they have by calling them in that 1,000 years and working with them during that time. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And that's in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. But we're the ones that will be the priests, and we're the ones that are going to reign with Christ to help the people during that time. They'll be resurrected at the beginning, will be resurrected at the beginning of 1,000 years in that first resurrection. Those that are faithful will be raised to immortality and be incorruptible at that reign. And we'll be able to reign with the Almighty Jesus Christ. You know, we've identified the first group, and we started talking about the second group. Jesus indicated that second resurrection to the 12 in Matthew chapter 10, verse 15, and we don't have to turn there. And it stated that if the city or household would not receive or hear the words of the apostles, that it was more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. So Christ was talking about a second resurrection. He had already indicated that the apostles, his disciples, would be in that first resurrection. But he tells us that there will be a judgment day for those people if they don't accept the 12 when they go out to preach the gospel. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah are not going to an eternal burning fire. They'll be given a chance through that second resurrection, even the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Next, let's turn to Revelation 20, verse 11. This is talking about the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And this is talking about the second resurrection. Those resurrected in this group did not have their minds open to the plan of God or the truth prior to this time. The majority of the people that ever lived haven't had the truth of God, but we do, brethren. Instead of condemning them as mainstream Christianity has to a hellfire, God's truth reveals in his word a much more comforting and positive future for humanity. You know, God will extend that opportunity of eternal life for the billions of people in that second resurrection. These people will be given time and the environment that's conducive to success. First, they'll have the opportunity to have God's Holy Spirit, and that's going to be a game changer for them because that is a requirement. That's what helps us today. That's what helps us to grow. And if we didn't have God's Holy Spirit, we would certainly hit a dead end, and even our works, even if they were good, they would never be righteous. You have to have God's Holy Spirit to have righteous and holy works. Second, Satan will be put away until the end of the 1,000 years, except for a short period of time at the end of the 1,000 years. So they'll have the opportunity to not be tempted by Satan the devil. Third, they'll have help from us or perhaps angelic beings. Let's turn to Isaiah 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. To prove that point. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Now, I know we don't have that directly today. However, we do have God's Holy Spirit, and we do have that nudge, don't we? I mean, if we're using God's Holy Spirit, we will feel that. When we walk contrary to God's way, we know it, we feel it, and I think God helps us in that way. So next, not my favorite subject, but it needs to be talked about. It's called we call it the third resurrection. There will be those who know God's way or who have been resurrected and for whatever reason will reject God and they'll walk away. I mean, I personally can't comprehend it, but there will be those that upon their resurrection and even witnessing God's kingdom in front of their eyes, they'll still reject him in their arrogance and they'll not want to accept God's way. It's what a shame, because I can't believe anybody would pass up such an amazing opportunity. I don't believe people today would turn away from a winning lottery ticket and they would tear it up, would they? Why would they tear up the ticket into God's kingdom? I just don't comprehend that. All I can say is probably a lack of vision. Well, it's got to be a lack of vision. And this is why we need to have vision, brethren. We need vision. If we don't have that vision, we could end up failing. And we don't want to be there. But we need the vision. There could be some tough times ahead, and I think we need to create that vision. We need to make sure that we don't lose that vision. Next, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction describes eternal death, not a burning eternal hellfire forever. The destruction is what's everlasting. So let's turn back to Revelation 20 and verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, upon the judgment, those who made some very bad decisions in their lives will lose out on the best thing that could have ever happened to them. They won't be found written in the book of life, and in reality, it'll be a merciful thing to be cast in, because God will not have somebody who's stubborn, incorrigible, and unwilling to obey him for eternity in his kingdom, and someone who could influence others in the same way. And that's actually a merciful thing that God's doing at that point. You know, once we've been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gifts and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit that's described in Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, we can't turn back as God's people. We can't turn back. There'll be some who trampled the Son of God underfoot, treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and insulted the Spirit of grace. For them, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And that's in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. And that was from the New International Version. You know, God put us at the top of the order, and there's a responsibility in that order. We have a responsibility. We can't take the responsibility lightly. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of our calling is one out of billions. And yet, some will give it away. This is a serious thing. I mean, it's something we really need to think about from time to time. You know, value your calling. Invest in it. This is the best investment you can ever make. You know, I'm a banker. This is the best investment you can ever make. Look at your bank accounts. Inflation. It's all taken away. This is your best investment. For those who take this lightly, their memory and the order in the third resurrection will be forgotten someday. Their order will be forgotten. You know, God doesn't make us mourn forever for those we love. So if we had some incorrigible person in our family or someone that we knew, God's even going to take that pain away from us. They will be forgotten. You know, he loved them more than we ever possibly could. I know some people that sounds cruel, but I think a burning hell fire forever sounds even worse. I mean, could you imagine being in pain forever? This is merciful. He's a God, and he's a God of perfect love. In Psalm 34, 16, it says, "The face of God is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." So he's going to cut off their remembrance. In Isaiah 65, 17, it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." There's going to be a day that we won't remember the things that happen on this earth, the bad things. All the bad, all the evil won't come to mind any longer. The incorrigible and the tares, anyone who refused and didn't take action to change, well, these people have chosen their order. You know, our order is a choice. It is not for the second resurrection, but for us, we have a choice in our order. That's how we live our lives. Now, as we read earlier in 2 Peter 3:9, you know, God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God loves his creation, and he loves all his children. He doesn't even want one of us to make those bad choices. Choose your order wisely, brethren, because it is a choice, but yet it's given by grace. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ's grace, we wouldn't even be given the choice. But because of him, he gave us a choice. Choose the first and the better resurrection, the resurrection of life and eternity. Let's draw closer to God as this world draws further away from him. Let the only fire we experience be that we have for God. That's the only fire I want to experience. I don't like to get burned. Now, let's stay close to God and close to the brethren. Let's be connected to each other. You know, I personally believe, and I was talking to Fred before church, I think that how connected and how our relationships with God's people and how much we desire to be with them is a reflection of our relationship with God. I see people as they draw closer to God, I see their relationships getting better and stronger with God's people. It's just my observation. Maybe I'm not 100% on that, but that's what I've observed over the years. Next, let's turn to Daniel. This will be the last scripture here. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. "And many of those who slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. But I want to really focus now on verse 3. I like to end on a positive note here. I did go in order, but I definitely want to end on a positive note. "Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." And that's what I want to see, all of us be stars forever and ever. I want to see you, brethren, shine like the stars. I want to shine like the stars. You know, you can be a real light in the firmament, as it says in Daniel 12. Let's be there and show all the generations of our families the way. We'll get to meet the whole generations of our families. What an awesome opportunity that is. We'll be their heroes with a small h. Jesus Christ is going to be their hero with a big H, all right? But we're going to be the small h heroes for our families. When they see us, I know my grandfather, when he sees me, he heard Herbert W. Armstrong, and he would go out and listen to his car and listen to the World Tomorrow broadcast when I was a little kid, but he never did anything with it. He never did it. He could not break himself away from Christmas and Sunday keeping. But he believed that the Sabbath was right, and he said, "That's right. I know this is right. I know these are right," but he never made that change. I'm going to help make the change in the future. You know, we might be reviled today, but we will be the heroes of tomorrow. Remember, you brethren are destined for greatness. Never give it up. Never give it away. God wants you there. Let's be the right order. Don't ever give up. We were called to be in first place, the first resurrection. We were God's created. He created us to be there. He created you to be in that first resurrection. He's equipped each of us to be there. So let's do this.